Journalist Danny Fenster of Southeast Michigan has been detained in Myanmar for more than 100 days for his work in the country. Fenster's family is working to keep Danny's story alive in the state, as contact with him and information about his well-being have been limited. Here's Danny's brother, Brian.
We're hopeful we're going to work this out. However, the process is overseas, different than here, obviously, but we just want to make sure he's okay. That's the number one worry. We just don't want him to be harmed in any way.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Congressman Andy Levin has been working with Fenster's family and with foreign governments to try to secure his release. He joins us now to talk about these efforts. Andy Levin, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you so much, April. It's great to hear your voice.
Let me just ask straight away, what's the latest with Danny Fenster?
Well, the COVID crisis and the outbreak of unrest in that prison and other things have conspired to really throw a wrench in his access to our embassy and our consular officials, to his access to his family. And so the latest is he's just continuing to go through this series of pro forma hearings every couple of weeks. On the other hand, they still haven't charged him with anything. So that's a good thing, because we want to get him out of there without them charging him with anything, since he didn't do anything. But also, you know, the fear is that might make them have to, you know, go through some more motions to save face before they let him go and come home.
Lengthen the procedural process.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is it like trying to communicate with officials in Myanmar about him?
Well, you know, I've repeatedly spoken with their ambassador here, but even that, I mean, they've had a coup, right? So that ambassador is the same person who was the ambassador of their government before the coup. So, you know, he obviously may not have the kind of level of standing with the military generals who are running the country. So it's very difficult. And Burma's been an isolated country, you know, for much of its history. And now, because the U.S. appropriately has been very critical of the coup and of the murderous response from the coup regime, when the people stand up and say, hey, we want our democracy, the U.S. government doesn't have, you know, real extensive relations with the people running the country. So that, you know, that's not ideal for getting somebody out of prison.
Sure. Is there any way to know Danny Fenster's true physical condition right now?
Our embassy there has done such a tremendous job. And in truth, our consular officials there have extensive networks within the prison, relationships with the staff of the prison, the people who run the prison. And so we do, you know, we have gotten pretty good information about Danny on a regular basis. So as far as we know right now, he has not been tortured or otherwise mistreated. He hasn't been denied food or water. He's kept segregated in a, you know, quote unquote, high value prisoner area. I credit his family and our government's efforts to lift up his story for the fact that he hasn't been treated even worse. I think the regime there is at least thinking, well, there's no point in having, you know, a big black eye over this that we don't have to by doing something stupid. That's why we've got to keep lifting up his story right until the moment we get him the heck out of there.
Do you know if Danny's family has been able to have any direct or indirect contact with him? I mean, maybe exchanging messages, or have they heard from him directly since he was taken into custody?
Yes, yes. And I have to preface this by saying that the Burmese regime has not followed international law. Our government should have had very quick and regular in-person contact with him, and the family should have been able to, and so on and so forth. But that said, the family was able to talk to him three times so far, the most recent being already a month ago on August 1st. And they have been able to exchange letters. Of course, the letters are read by the authorities, but still, they feel like that's another, you know, indication of how Danny's doing, because he writes you know, personal letters to them that they occasionally are able to get out of there.
There's no question this is a complex situation. As you say, there's been a coup, and the Biden administration's relations with the regime are not what they, you know, not what anybody had hoped at this point. But are there ways, other than just keeping his story alive, are there ways to put international political pressure on Myanmar in this case? I don't know if that would be through an intergovernmental body or some other way.
Yes, there certainly are. And I sort of have two parts of my answer to that very good question. The first part is that, I mean, I personally have spoken to the Thai ambassador, the Singapore ambassador, you know, I mean, I don't know how many countries, and our own State Department is similarly, the Japanese ambassador, I mean, raising this with other countries that have relationships with Burma, with ASEAN, the regional organization that Burma is part of, with the ASEAN business group. So we're raising it in many, many ways. And the second part of my answer is that I can't really talk much about is that we certainly are working every angle of this beyond the official US government efforts to identify individuals, businesses, governments, organizations that would have relationships and leverage with the generals running Burma right now so that we can get Danny out of there.
We have to take a quick break. More with Congressman Andy Levin in just a minute.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
Are you aware of any other journalists who might still be detained with Danny Fenster?
Well, there are certainly Burmese journalists who are detained, but they are held in a different area, and I couldn't tell you the number of them. I mean, ironically, April, I'm on not only the House Foreign Affairs Committee, I'm on the Asia Subcommittee, and I'm the vice chair of the Asia Subcommittee. And I actually wrote the resolution, HRS 134, that we passed after the coup. And one of the big focuses of my resolution was not just restore democracy, but that the human rights of journalists and activists and others are being violated. Danny is the last foreign journalist that we know of that's in prison. There was a Japanese journalist released before him, and then a Burmese American journalist released a number of weeks ago. And so we're really hoping we can get Danny out and that they don't keep arresting and detaining foreign journalists who are just trying to tell the truth about what's happening there.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that your colleague, Congressman Dan Kildee, was undergoing negotiations for the release of one of his constituents. In that case, the conversation was with Iran. This took years to get the return of Amir Hekmati. Are you considering that this may be an effort of similar length and duration? I mean, have you talked with other colleagues about how they've pursued similar cases of detention with folks who were adversarial?
Yes, I certainly have. But I am really hopeful that we will get Danny out much sooner than that. We will keep working at it no matter how long it takes, April. So if it ends up being months and years rather than weeks, so be it. We'll be here fighting to get him out. But I feel like with the strength of the Fenster family and the efforts that we're undertaking, that we're going to get him out of there sooner rather than later.
Congressman, before we let you go, I wanted to offer condolences. Since the last time we talked, your uncle, longtime Michigan Senator Carl Levin, has died. We know how much he meant to you and to others in the family, and really to everyone who he represented. I just wondered if you'd be willing to share a couple of words about the loss for you personally and his tradition of public service in the family.
Well, thank you, first of all, April, for your thoughts. And it's been just kind of overwhelming, the outpouring from people and the stories. He didn't just belong to our family. You know, he belonged to the people of Michigan. I have to tell you, I was just talking to a young person who works for a senator who wanted to just meet with me on Zoom. And we got to talking about the filibuster. And I think in some ways that's emblematic of my relationship with Uncle Carl, because he was a big proponent of the filibuster. And I am a fierce opponent of the filibuster. I think we ought to get rid of it altogether. But just imagine, I think out of 435 representatives and 100 senators, there's not another one who has the blessing that I have of being able to call Sandy Levin and Carl Levin, who each served 36 years in the Congress, my dad in the House, my uncle in the Senate, and ask their advice or debate, as it were, in this case, you know, sort of the great issues of the day. Mm-hmm. And I will dearly miss his wit, his humility, his absolute grounding in being super serious about trying to figure out what's best for the people of Michigan. He just never changed in that way, April. And it's, you know, it's quite a legacy for our state.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. Today's episode was produced by Rachel Ishikawa. Our executive producer is Laura Weber Davis. Our music was composed by 14KT with additional music from Blue Dot Sessions. Stateside's a production of Michigan Radio. You can check out full episodes at michiganradio.org. We will see you after Labor Day. Have a great and safe weekend. Bye-bye.